Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen.
Amen.
And his mercies endureth forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, praise team. Sorry, I started late because we ran over during the discussion part of the ministry. The Lord is good. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power. For thou hast created all things and for thy pleasure they are created. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might belongs to the Lord forever. Like unto thee, O Lord, who is like unto thee, Shakabakuri, O Lord, among the gods, O among the gods, who is like thee, O Lord? You are glorious in and then is fearful in praises, always in wonder. Hallelujah. Always doing wonders. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this hour of ministration, the grace to stand before your people. We ask, Lord, that you come and visit us in this message. Bless your word this morning. Let everyone that is hearing or will hear of it, let them be blessed. Let them learn from it. Let them apply it to your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father, for all you've done for your people. Receive all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Jehovah God is good. This morning, we're going to take our reading from the book of Ezra, chapter 9, verse 9. Ezra chapter 9, verse 9. Let's read together. For we were bondmen, yet our God had done what? Not forsaking us in our bondage, but had extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia. to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We will take from this wall of Ezra the part that says that God, though we find ourselves as bondmen under the yoke, yet God hath not forsaken us in our condition, in our bondage, in your situation, but has done what? Extended mercy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So the title, the topic is called Extending Mercy. Extending Mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mercy is, in Bible times, withholding deserved judgment. Withholding, not applying judgment you desire. My prayer as we start on this topic this morning will be that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life in Jesus' name. My prayer is that goodness and mercy will follow you and your children and grandchildren all the days of their life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But let us, as we also listen to this message, know that judgment will be applied without mercy to those who show no mercy, for mercy rejoiced over judgment. Triumphs over judgment. In other words, if we want to be recipient of mercy, to continue to be recipient of mercy, we are not to neglect the ministry of merciness, which unfortunately, we are going to go into depth of this. The world today are teaching us otherwise. There are sayings out there that encourage you not to show mercy. There is a saying that says there is a reserved punishment for being good. When I remember it, I'll say it the way it was said or itemized. Some are encouraging, outwardly encouraging against the ministry of mercy in the United States of America today. The system has created a robotic system that is devoid of mercy. System without feeling, system without care or concern of others, system that doesn't care what you are going through or what might happen. This is my job, the way I'm told to do it, I will do it without consideration of mercy. They apply it even to each other. I have seen, as we come out in this message, men apply it to their wife, wife apply it to their husband. Couple of weeks ago, a woman is being begged to please let your husband use your insurance that you are working to try to save his life. No, I can't. The same thing, I have worked in environments where I step in talking to the lady they have lived with the husband for many years. And once she became severely ill, was carrying a bag, colostomy bag and stuff, the husband split. It was on the ex-husband of this woman and the wife that allowed her to come and stay with them and extended mercy unto her while she tried to survive this sickness. Today, people have no mercy towards one another as they should. Mercy has become a very scarce item. But I want to tell you, I don't care how you claim to be loving God, you cannot love God without the ministry of mercy in it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You cannot love God or your neighbor without the ministry of mercy. In the Bible, law and the prophets, the law have limitation regarding to this ministry. The law had limitation. The hierarchy of law had limitation against the ministry of mercy. I'm coming to that. The same thing with the prophets. But let us look at the law. The law ordered a tabernacle. God told Moses to build a tabernacle that does what? Define the worship of God, the approach to God in Israel. This tabernacle has the outer courtyard, the inner place that is called the Holy of Holies, and then the most holy place. In the outer courtyard that is extended to all of us, to any of us, they have the laver and the altar for burnt sacrifice. In the inner, or the holy place, as it's called, they have the menorah, the lamp with the seven branches on it, another altar of license, and the shewbread, the table of the shewbread, where they put the specially prepared bread in that area. But in the inner or the most holy place, herein we are talking about the law has limitation, in it is the ark of God. Inside that ark were mainly three things: the Aaron's rod that budded, a jar of manna, and the tablet of the commandments that God has given to Moses. He broke it and wrote another one. But in the same holy and holy, there is two cherubims, but there is something there that is not ordinary. It says that the presence of God as seen on this particular issue is the mercy seat. This area is cut off from every other person, with the exception of one person that goes into this area once a year, not without sacrifice, not without preparation, to make intercession for God, between us and God. Now, I don't know how Aaron and the rest of them does it, but they have the right to go there and make an appeal. They can try to appeal for their family and put you aside. They can appeal for Israel and forget any other person. They can appeal for Judah and say Benjamin is not part of it. They can go there and appeal, but this is where we approach the throne of mercy. Well, it continues for a couple of thousands or thousands of years until Christ Jesus came. When Christ came, why I say that the law has limitation is that Christ has to put an end to it. In putting an end to it, he came in. And when he came, he started to minister at the point they killed him. And the day that he gave up the host, the Bible says that there were a lot of miraculous and wondrous things that happened. Earthquakes, thundering, lightning. But then there are also something that happened within the temple. What was it that happened? There is a veil of separation. There is a wall, an obstacle that will not allow me or you to approach the throne of mercy. And that throne of mercy is where we can approach, he said, for you to boldly approach. But in this place, we cannot approach, he said, when Jesus Christ breathed his last, you read it in the Bible, he said the veil was torn asunder, was torn in twain, from the top to bottom. It was open to all, for me, for you, Jews and Gentiles, sinners and righteous persons, men and women, rich and poor, orphans, widows, whoever is now, and he said, for us to boldly approach the throne of grace to receive mercy, to live, and grace to live in hour of need. Jesus Christ parted that veil of separation so that mercy is now no more reserved to few, or to the order of few, or to the order of the priesthood, or to the high priesthood. The mercy of God is now abundantly clear and available to all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is mercy that brought Christ Jesus. It is mercy that brought forth the grace that come and gave us life eternal. So now mercy is open. Mercy is something integral as part of God. The prophet also resisted mercy in a lot of ways. The prophet, what are their names? Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, and so on. There were sprinkling of messages of grace, messages of accommodation, consolation, ministration of salvation. But if you look at the ministries of the prophets, most of it is inclined towards judgment. Judgment rendered by famine, call fire from heaven, do this and that, that is purely judgmental or God judgment and stuff. Some of them does not even care to intercede for the mercy of God. Abraham saw the judgment that was to come upon Sodom. He interceded. He interceded and said, Lord, move it down. If there are 50 righteous men, can you save them? They say, yeah, 45, yeah, 50, yeah. 45, all the way to about 10 or so on, he stopped there. And God said, well, for that, I will judge if I cannot find this righteous man in Sodom. Sodom come under judgment. Moses, when God was about to wipe out the whole place, he interceded. But most of the prophets are not inclined towards mercy. I have a reason why I'm bringing this out in relation to me and to you this morning. About the ministration of mercy. This morning we are talking of stewardship, what you can do and apply it. One of the women that is most remembered in this whole wide world, Sister Teresa or something like that, was the ministry of mercy that she took up in India. And for that, kings and kingdom will ever remember her as time endures because she applied the ministry of mercy. Now, these prophets will not intercede even. They will go on and declare judgment. Because that is human. Some of them are human nature. Many of us interpret it today and say the judgment of God, this and that. God is waiting for mercy to be asked. God is waiting for us to be in the breach and ask for mercy for even those. And we're going to go through the scripture on this. Let me give you an example. One of these men is called Jonah. Jonah was called a prophet to go and bring God's message to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. Assyria is a nation that have tortured Israel for hundreds of years. Assyria has taken Israel to bondage. Assyria has taken Israel to servitude, to every kind of evil. You know, they come there, they are warriors and war from time to time. And Israel has called upon God for judgment against Assyria. For judgment against them. And now, at the appointed hour of that judgment, God decided to give Assyria, Nineveh, a second chance. He's always a God of second chance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this man, Jonah, said, no, that is not right. Let us go to a book of Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. And then we finish the rest of the story. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, please, let's hold it up. It says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. And merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repented thee of the evil. He has no intention for God to repent of evil against Nineveh, against Assyria. Because there has been a thorn in the flesh of Israel forever. And here is an opportunity to wipe them out of the face of the earth. But God saw the souls. God saw the people. God saw the cows, the animals, the things, as he later stated there, and said, if only they can turn against to the Lord. So he was called to go and give this message. He hightailed it out of that place. God said, go south. He went north. And God had to cause people to suffer because of him. The people and the merchants in that ship were lost. They throw all their stuff overboard. And then they say, who is causing this trouble? And they divined and found out that it was Jonah, who was sound asleep somewhere in the ship. Why people are suffering because of him? And say, what have you done? He said, well, I'm running from the face of the Lord. Okay. They tried their best to load to the land. It's not happening. So he said, what are we to do with you? He said, throw me overboard. That's the only solution. Throw him overboard. The storm ceased, and the fish that prepared by the Lord took him all the way to the same place he's running from, which is Nineveh, and spewed him out there. He still has not repented after that three days of nightmare, riding in the belly of a fish. What an awful journey. He has not changed. He still intended that God should not show mercy against my enemy. He's still standing on the gap that God will not, should not, cannot, by any means show mercy against your enemy. So he went on preaching, not for them to repent. 40 days, and the Lord will bring judgment, and I was saying it with so much joy. And you guys are gone, you guys are wiped out, you guys are destroyed, and 40 days. I know they will not repent, they have never repented for 700 years or 600, how much more now? But you know what? The king woke up from his dream and sleep and said, unlike Pharaoh, who hardened or allowed his heart to be hardened, his heart was mellowed. He called his people and said, every one of you, every man, every woman, every noble, every person, every prince, every princess, everything in my kingdom, animal, goats, sheep, everything, children that I just born yesterday, nobody eat, nobody drink, everybody fast. Let us call upon the Lord and see if this evil will be averted. And you know what? God saw it and repented of the evil. And repent. Jonah cried and said, didn't I know you will do this? Didn't I say you will do this? That is why I was running away in the beginning. I don't want any mercy against my enemy. I don't want mercy against any of these people. And some of us have the same mindset. Some of us are in the same level of mindset. A man came, good American man, born again Christian. That day we are talking about Israel. Today Israel and the Palestinians. And I say, they do deserve, Israel have to defend themselves. But is he not getting too much for God's sake? He said that the Bible says, he that curseth Israel shall be cursed, and he that blesseth Israel shall be blessed. I say, are we to blindly say that in the face of atrocity? Are we to blindly say that if it is wrong? Is it not time that we wake up and say, for God's sake, you guys have carried this judgment far too much? There's a time for peace. There's a time for war, yes. Is there no time to show mercy? Families wiped out. That one, all they wanted is to peace, but for 1 or 10% or 2% of the evil one among them is now out to destroy every other person, and they carry this evil against the people of God, whom I love, whom I pray for, whom I support. And you guys rightly went to retribute, that's okay. But there is a limit, I said to him. Is there not enough? He said, no. They do not understand anything he said, but punishment. What of mercy? No, they don't understand. It is punishment that they know. I say, is that all? What of our God and his mercy message? Nineveh has not done worse or done worse. Yet God gave them opportunity and they changed and he had mercy. Today, many of us are in the same mindset. Let our enemies be destroyed. Let our enemies be pulled down. Let every one of them be done away with. The message of Christ, the message of redemption, the message of salvation is tampered with mercy against judgment. It is not always judgment with God. It is also his mercy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. The act of mercy can be summed up in the word I say in Lamentations chapter 3:20. It's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. For his compassion they fail it not. He said, new every morning is thy love, and great is God's faithfulness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the summary of the act of mercy. Now, mercy can be divided into the two groups. And this is the core of our message this morning. Mercy can be divided into mercy to people who are hurting. One. Mercy to people who are hurting. In other words, somebody is hurting. Somebody is in pain or wanting or the other. And you extended mercy to such a person. Or mercy to those who hurt you. Quote unquote, your enemy. Quote unquote, those that will do you evil. People that is against you. Somebody brought a book to me. A lot of books, I gave some of them out. After I gave it out, I started considering when I look at it, I should have read this before giving it out. Every chapter it is as against your enemy. Against them that will do evil. Prayer, mighty prayers of destruction. I didn't see any word of grace or mercy anywhere or love. We have that mindset among us. Against our husband, against our wives, against even our children, against people that we see, against people we know, against the gay people, against the righteous people, against the Jewish, against the Palestinians. We have that mindset across the board in a lot of ways. Because the world is preaching that there's no good deed without punishment. That is a lie from the devil. People now hiding their heart, and the institution of mercy is being done away. And now we are now like robots. Mercy is no more part of the agent, part of the plan, part of the teaching, part of the belief system, part of what we should manifest to one another. We are talking about ministry this morning. I didn't have time to mention about the ministry of giving. Many tighten up their loose bowstring. I give my tithe, I give my offering, and that's it. They don't even maybe want to take $10 or $5 or whatever go to give to people who deserve mercy from them. Actually, that is where your blessing comes. Actually, that is where your increase starts to come. When you go outside the limit to show mercy, to show kindness, you can decide, okay, this organization or these people that don't know me, don't answer, I will support them, I'll give them something just to show mercy to those who need mercy. One of the great lawyers in those days came to Jesus and said, Master, what shall I do to get into the kingdom of God? What's written in the law? He asked him. He says, fear, love God with all your heart and your neighbor like yourself. He said, great, go and do so. He said, well, who is my neighbor? He said, look, there's a man who was walking around and going about his duty. And the enemy wallowed him, beat him, left him to die in his blood, he pulled off his blood in the midst of the street out there. And there comes a priest, a wonderful born-again Christian, singing and shouting and rejoicing to church, and saw him lying down there in the pool of blood and hiked up his or her skirt and hooked over him and went by his way. Then here comes a Levite, and Levite, you know, a nominal Christian who doesn't believe, he goes to church and pays tithe and offering and does all good and stuff. That's okay. And he saw the same person and walked around him and moved on away. But there come an immigrant A foreigner, from Samaria, not of the heritage or the tribe of Israel or Jew, and saw this Jewish man lying on a pool of blood in the street there, along and where other people have come, even his own people come and pass by, and he had what? Mercy on him. He did what? He had mercy on him. He hopped out of his car or horse or whatever, donkey they're driving in those days, hopped out of it, pulled over and cleaned up and tidied him up and carried him to the hospital or whatever, where we cannot treat him because he doesn't have insurance. You know what? I have some money here. Use this and treat him. And if there's aught remaining, we'll take care of it when he comes back. He said, "Who among these three is this man's neighbor?" The lawyer scratched his head and said, "The last man who happens to be a Samaritan, not even somebody that knows our law, not somebody that knows our teaching, our belief system, our God or whatever, it is the one that is the neighbor." He said, "Yeah, that's the one that is the neighbor of this man. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Some of us think we are so poor and so helpless and so have nothing and so get nothing to give. It's mercy. It's a mindset that many of us have created, and you will remain like that. If you don't think you have anything to give, you will not have anything to give. You start with what you have. You start with your 10 cents. You start with your 50 cents. You start with your dollar. And God will make a way for you to give in due time, far, far more than. But some of us, well, I'm a poor despair, and I don't even have anything. They don't give to anything. They don't support anything. They don't have passion for anything. And even the grace that is given them, where they can use as a good steward to reach out to others in mercy, well, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm this and I can't do it. That is where you have no increase. That is why many have no increase. I like to give. I like to support. I like to give out of my pocket because I have been there. How can I, who has been hungry, destitute, forsaken many a time, and God has brushed me up and put me to forsake others? But that is what is happening. We are coming to that. So, mercy, in one definition, is to show mercy, kindness, support, help to those who are hurting. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Christ also taught us to build a gap, a bridge. What do I mean by bridge? In those days, there are people that are not to be approached. The lepers, the prostitutes, the publicans, tax collectors. Let us quickly read Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 to 12. Quickly here, please. Quickly. Matthew 9, 10 to 12. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at the meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Go to 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, the wonderful Pharisees said unto him, disciples, why it is your master with the publicans and sinners. 11. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, that they that be whole need no physician, but they that are sick. Many of us distance ourselves from that person in our office that is different, dress weird, sit by themselves to eat, have no person that come around them. Many of us distance ourselves from that person because, well, they are just too poor for me to associate with or look and talk with. I don't want to be associated with that type. Many of us distance ourselves with people that are put aside, stigmatized, people that have nothing, people that, it's not in my rank, it's not in my level. I drive a fancy car, I live in a fancy neighborhood, I don't want to be anything with that. The publicans are one of those. Tax collectors on behalf of Rome. Everybody hate them. Everybody don't want anything to do with them. They are called anathema according to the ideas of the people are there. They are people that nobody has anything with them. And they wanted fellowship. They wanted, Zacchaeus was one among them. When he heard that Jesus was coming, he climbed a tree just to see Jesus. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today, I will sup with you in your house. The same people, the Christians, the people that are known to be the righteous ones, the Pharisees, the Sadducees say, why would your master be eating with the sinners and the publicans? And Jesus said, you don't need a physician. If you are sick, they are sick maybe. So they need me. They need you. He was building a bridge. Your good work can save soul more than you are quoting the Bible. Your good work can help and win that family member, that husband, that wife, more than you coming, forcing fellowship early in the morning every day and let us go through Bible teaching and this, that, but no good work, no mercy involved. We don't have care and concern about each other's limitations, about each other's quirks, about each other's shortcomings, about each other's failures. All we have is judgmental spirit that was there by the law causing limitation. All we have is judgmental spirit that the prophets and many of them have manifested. They are not pleading with God for mercy, for grace, for help. They are like Jonah of today. Didn't I know that if I go out and do as you say, there is opportunity they may change? If I show mercy, if I do the right thing, the God will have mercy because you are a merciful God and capable of repenting of evil. We have hardened our hearts like Pharaoh. And I see this because I talk with people, because I counsel with people, because I minister with people. I see the hardness of our, we don't, you know, we make decision. We make decision that is just me. That decision does not care what will happen to my husband or what will happen to my wife or what will happen to the children or those around me. It is me mentality that we have these days. That me mentality is telling us that it is me. It doesn't matter who you walked over, who you pooped on, who you trampled, who you bulldozed out of the way. As long as I get my way, as long as it is my way, it doesn't matter. That is not the act of Christians. That is not Jesus Christ. He tore that veil from top to bottom and make way for me and you to come to innermost part, the Holy of Holies, unto the mercy seat, and say that we can receive grace and mercy to help, to live in hour of need. And he said that judgment will be applied to those who also apply judgment without consideration of mercy. For he said, the Lord your God is a merciful God. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall do what? Receive mercy. And I tell you from my understanding of my own life, and I'm better than a lot of people, that I need mercy. I need mercy in daily basis. I need God's mercy. In fact, when things are going bad, my default is mercy, God. I wake up shouting for mercy. I wake up crying for mercy. I wake up appealing for mercy. At times I sleep off, I wake up, I'm still shouting, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Because that is the only avenue that trumps every other thing. No matter my judgment level, no matter my failure level, no matter whatever, it is God's mercy. But that mercy cannot reach to you when you cannot reach to others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Maybe it is hitting where it should be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you are listening in the news or whatever later on, that's what it tends to be. Some of us have friends that tend to tell us, do not show mercy. I was wondering why God showed David so much mercy. In fact, David condemned himself in the case of Beersheba and Uriah or something. The husband is sent to die and stuff. And when the prophet came to talk to him, he said, "Where? Huh? Whoever did that in Israel, as long as the Lord God have made me a king, the person deserves to die." And the prophet said, "You are the one." And he fell down and started pleading for God's mercy. And God showed him mercy. There was still some punishment that came out of it, but he was preserved. What did he do to deserve such mercy? Let me give you two examples. Why I now caution your girlfriends or your friends who times caution tell you,
Show him paper,
as one sister told me.
I will show him when.
Say, who told you that? Say, my girlfriend.
When I finish with him, now blood will come up from eye.
You are sowing a seed you don't understand. You are going to a level of where you are condemning yourself.
David was anointed king of Israel. Saul wanted to kill him. He ran away. He pursued him with thousands of soldiers. One day he was inside the cave with his men. And Saul and his soldiers were sleeping outside there. There's one particular friend, a man of war, a warrior among them. He has laid his spear in one encounter and killed 300 people. Abishai is his name. They give me opportunity to kill your enemy. I will not strike twice. I have ridden my spear to kill 300. How much more this man? This is an end for you. Just do away with this enemy. I say, I will not raise my hand against God's anointed. He called Saul when he took off and went to the mountain far away and said, people tell you I'm trying to kill you. I had opportunity to kill you this night. Look at your skirt. I cut off a part of it. I didn't kill you. Saul saw it and cried, ah, David, my son, that's not like you. I will never come off to kill you again. I will not harm you again. I see that God wants you to be king. Just have mercy on my children when the time comes. Few months after, he went after David again to kill him. And Abishai said, give me opportunity. Didn't you see the first time he said he will not come again to kill you? And so on and so forth. Now let us kill him and make an end to all these things. David said, no. Went, I think, in that occasion, took his javelin that is by the side of his bed. I think a water pot or whatever he took, and went off again and called and said, I have the second opportunity to kill you. I didn't. One time Solomon was after his father to take over the throne. And one man was, I forgot his name, one of relations of Saul, went and was throwing doors, trying to do everything, trying to, you know, just cursing them as they are going, throwing doors and rock on David the king. And around David were the mighty men of David. These are men that can go to war against a nation and win because the anointing of war is upon them. I said, my bishop, I said, give me opportunity to go lop off his dog-headed head. Who is he to king you, O great king of Israel? Who kings and nations are afraid of? And David said, no. If God allow him to curse, if God allow him to mock me, if God allow him to step on me at this point, many a times when we are down and out, or your enemy is down and out, or people are down and out, you rejoice and step over them and rejoice. That is not right. If you can't do anything, shut up. If you can't do any other thing, pray for them. If you can't do anything, let it be. Let God do his own work. Oh, my enemy is falling. And they come and give actual testimony. If you see what God has done to my enemy. If you see what God has... No, the act of mercy goes beyond that. When you are patient, when you are act, God has taken unto himself to avenge your cause. Still do not rejoice. Leave it in God's hand. So David showed this mercy, and when the time comes, as the scriptures show, judgment is without mercy to those who does not show mercy. Let us quickly read Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, quickly, please. Matthew chapter 5, 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you,
and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It is hard. I try it. At the time I started cursing, then I remember God said not to curse. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Just don't forget the curse. I already blessed them. At times you try to look the other way, but it is hard. Because people do things at times. They say things nasty about you. You do good to them, they turn around and take it. It's like you do this good and the good become evil. And it is very painful. I've been through those painful times in my own life. Very painful. And God is telling me, what? Love them? Do not hate them? After they did all this to me? But there's a reason. We're not going to go to that reason. You know the reason. Vengeance is of me, says the Lord. And when that vengeance is even coming, do not rejoice in it. One time God was giving Israel victory over one particular king. He took his own son and sacrificed. Israel was taken. After the bitterness of that, then say, the wrath turned against Israel. Do not rejoice against the fall of your enemy. One mean person that wanted me to fall, one particular person that did me real bad. Then, the same people that were with him when this was happening, who didn't raise one single voice in my defense, and now calling me to tell me, you know what is happening to the family of this person? This is happening. He's seeing trouble. He's all his life a bitter. Don't call me and tell me that. I do not rejoice with you over his situation. I pray that the Lord will have mercy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That is wisdom. Then you start calling people and say, hey, I told you. Everything he did to me is returning to his head. The judgment he declares, da-da-da-da-da. No. Learn to have mercy. Apply the ministry of mercy in your doing with others. Do not allow judgment mentality to prevail over mercy in your life. As we round up, we started a little late, so we may go over by a few minutes. We look at a man that Christ used as an example for me and you. It is in Matthew chapter 18. We will only read verse 33 of it. But I'll tell the story quickly here. This servant came to the king because he couldn't pay his debt. Or let's just quickly read through it. We still have some few minutes. Matthew 18 verse 23, please. Quickly. Matthew 18 verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 what? Talents. 10,000. I just say 10 million dollars. Go on. But as much as he has not to pay, his Lord commanded that he be sold, his wife, his children, all that he had, so that he can recoup his money. That is allowed under the law. Go on. Everything you have. It's called liquidation. It's called bankruptcy. Everything goes. But the servant pleaded with him and fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience on me, and I will repay thee. There's no hope of him ever paying back that money. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with what? Compassion. And loosed him and forgave him the debt. 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. The other one is 10,000 talents of gold or silver, 10 million. This guy is owing me about $2,000. What did he do to him? And took him by the throat, saying, pay me thou owest. 29. And his fellow servant fell down just like he did to the other, his master, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The same petition, the same appeal. And he would not even consider him, but went and cast him into prison till he should do what? Pay his debt. 31. So when other people, the angels, saw what is being done, and people said, well, we're very sorry. And came and told unto their Lord all that was done. 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, and said, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all. I tore the wall of separation. I pulled down the veil. You are no more limited. Your mercy seat is open to me and to you. Jesus paid it all. I forgive thee all the debt because you required, you asked me. 33. Shouldn't you do the same, also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity or mercy on thee? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to say this is our level. If you are not careful. Christ has forgiven us all on a daily basis. If we will take account of your base righteousness, you still be under judgment. You students who are out there, who goes on to torture other students who because they didn't measure to your level, who joined a gang of useless people to torture others, who have no compassion on others because they didn't measure up to your level or whatever you think you are. Be careful. Don't sow that seed. You man or woman who attended to sick people in your place of work, I give medication, I pass by. You forgot that she's shivering and there's a coat, there's a blanket on the corner there you can use to cover him or her. You don't have to do that, but you should. You wonderful person out there, that is so beautiful, so intelligent, so everything God has blessed you. And then at times you think others who are less than you are mad or crazy because they haven't received the bonus you receive in your life. And you walk over them, you look down on them, you laugh at them, you chat about them, you gossip about them, you tell everybody about their limitation. Be careful. Be very careful. The mighty has fallen at times. And the lowly like me has been lifted up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At times when some of the requests come, like I was saying today, 5 calls this morning. Times I want to get angry, but I remember I say, Lord, thank you. I was in the same shoe. But your mercy has turned it around. Your goodness has turned it around. I'm not the one running to beg. People are asking for my help. Increase me, O Lord, so that I can even do more in Jesus' mighty name. Brethren, I'm saying this because the ministry of mercy is being neglected. And when some of us render that mercy, we trumpet it. We are not doing it with cheerfulness. We are not doing it with thanksgiving. Got a call 3 nights ago from somebody about somebody who is helping orphans, living with her. Well, she complained all the time. Finally, I went to prayer in the night and came back and said, Lord, I've shown you mercy. This is what God has told me. Say what? I say, yeah. You're only receiving your mercy because of the mercy you are showing. If you ought to do it with cheerfulness, with thanksgiving. Not grudgingly, not with bitterness, not with rancor, not with complaining. I then told him what I was told. I say, I usually don't say much, but when I receive, at times I give, at times I keep quiet. Now you know, stop this whining, stop this complaining, stop this that I'm spending so much to help them. If you can't do it, stop. But if you can't continue, you receive mercy for this reason. And I gave her three reasons why you receive the mercy you have. This is what I will show. Many of us are rejecting this ministry. Ask God as we stand on our feet this morning, every one of us, that God will help us. Let's stand on our feet, please. To be merciful, like our Father is merciful. to remember that blessed are the merciful, for they shall also receive mercy. In our hurry at times for recompense of evil work, we think that God is slow in judging those who have been against us, that nasty man, that nasty woman, that evil boss, that evil person, that this and that. God is merciful because God is merciful God. Jonah found out so, that God is a merciful God. He repented of evil. So when you are in your own situation, have opportunity to render mercy. Render it with cheerfulness. Render it with thanksgiving that God has given you opportunity to return a fraction of what God has given to me and to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Love mercy and do good. For that is what God requires of me and for you. Brethren, I know we live at a time where they quote that no good deed is left unpunished. That is not true. You may not receive all the reward here, but there's a reckoning, there's a time coming that you will also need what you have given out. If it is judgment that you gave out, that is what is coming. If it is mercy that you have received, it will also, you have given out, it will also come to you for the same reason. Let us work hard to overcome this robotic system that is created, that is there out there now, where there is no more feeling, no kindness, no consideration. All we do now is to be judgmental of others. Even when they don't agree with you at the same viewpoint, or when they have come after you, our part is to show mercy, to do good even to those who hurt us. May God give us grace to do this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this word. We give you glory because you are Lord and you are God. You are God of mercy. You are God of truth. Help us not to give up our bowels of mercy, as the scripture calls it, which is tender mercy. And we shouldn't give it up. Amen. Because of the things we have suffered in the past when we rendered mercy. Rather to continue doing so in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
I pray for anybody who is listening. If you haven't given your life to Christ, it's an opportunity to do so. You cannot love your neighbor without love and mercy. Mercy and love goes hand in hand. Grant that we do this, Lord. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you all in Jesus' name.